One, two, three, Natalie!
Hi, welcome to the Person Natalie podcast. I'm your host, Natalie, and today's special guest is Stephen Davis. Stephen and I have known each other since we were young kids. We went to school together. We met on my first day of first grade. And I will never forget that. Stephen came up to me with, I think, like a pet snake or something.
But it was a fake snake.
A fake snake.
Pretty sure my parents didn't let me have a pet snake.
And you said something like, "Do you like my snake?" And I was by the cubbies and I think I like wanted to cry. I was like, "Oh my gosh." And then we went to middle school together and high school. And now we're here in DC and it's Halloween. Happy
Indeed.
Halloween, Stephen.
Happy Halloween, Adam.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
So in line with the Halloween theme, can you tell our guests what your best Halloween costume has been?
My best Halloween costume was, I was about 10 years old, I think, 10 or 9. And I really wanted to be one of the members from KISS. So I went as Gene Simmons. And I did all my own makeup. I was very impressed with myself.
All by yourself?
Well, I'm artistic, so I was like pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I bought a big black wig and rocked it out.
Wow. Okay. And then you and I went trick-or-treating one time as seniors. Do you remember that? Seniors in high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
We went near my parents' house.
Yeah.
It was a little weird, a little old.
Yeah. And we just like gathered stuff from your mom's closet.
Yeah, I think
yeah, there was no cohesive theme.
There was a lot of like 80s clothes being worn. And I wore like a bathrobe and went as a boxer.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't have boxing gloves.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Can you explain what we did in high school for Senior Absurdity Day? Can you explain what Senior Absurdity Day is?
So Senior Absurdity Day was, I think it was like Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it was on Halloween. And basically the whole senior class would dress up and they had a stage and you would put on like, some people put on skits or shows or whatever. Generally, yeah, everyone dressed up. I'm not sure that we had to go to class. I don't remember us going to class.
Wait, and what did we dress up as?
We were the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, there's a whole group of us.
Right?
Yeah.
You had a pretty awesome Alice costume.
Yeah.
I think I was Craig. We went shopping. I don't remember where we went in the city to buy like 70s stuff. And I bought 70s pants that were awesome. And the shirt with the ruffles. It was a good time.
Yeah. Well, so I invited Stephen on the show because I think he is one of the best storytellers and one of the funniest guys that I know. And my sister, Julia, when she heard that Stephen was going to be in DC, she was like, you have to have him on the show.
Shout out to Julia.
Yeah. Hi, Julia. And I texted her last night. I was like, oh, hey, I'm hanging out with Stephen. And she like wrote back immediately in all caps, oh my gosh, what is he doing and saying? And I was like, oh my gosh, Julia. I want to know, what did you get in the most trouble for as a kid?
Like young, it was stealing that dollar from this kid, Sean Coe. Sean Coe, if you're listening, I stole your dollar.
How old were you?
I think it was like first grade, something like that. And I got sent to the principal's office. And because it was like stealing, they sent me home. So my mom had to come in the middle of the day and pick me up. And she was working at the time. So she had to leave work to come pick up her like delinquent son who had stolen money from one of his classmates. She was pretty pissed.
Wait, and how did you steal it?
I literally just lifted it out of his backpack.
Oh.
Now I lifted it. It was in his backpack and I took it. I like pulled the zipper open and I took it out.
Yeah. And were you trying to like buy ice cream with it or something? Or you just wanted
just
the money?
I just wanted it. Yeah. I just wanted that dollar. Oh. I don't know why.
Some of my best like memories with you are when we were driving in the car.
Yeah.
Like, driving to school.
Mm-hmm. I was your chauffeur for most or all of senior year
all
and some of junior year.
Yeah. Yeah. Driving to and from school. And we lived in New Jersey, but we went to school in the Bronx. So, we would cross the George Washington Bridge every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember the time when the two times we had to rush home?
The first time we raced home, it was report card day, or I was anticipating the delivery of my report card. And there was some, you know, not great situations happening on that report card that year. So we had to race home to beat the mail, basically, and get the report card before my mom got it. And we grew up in a town, so our town didn't have postal delivery service. So everyone picks up the mail at the central post office. So you have to we were basically on a race to the post office to pick up the mail. And I remember actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't so much the report card as it was, do you remember we got progress reports?
Yes!
So they were like inserts in the report card that would be like a note from a teacher saying like either your kid did really well, which was rare that a progress report would be sent. It was usually that problem.
Yeah.
And my grades were okay, but that's what it was. My grades were okay, but I was a little bit disruptive in class at times. So I would constantly get progress reports.
Constantly?
Like, I got a lot. Yeah.
Really?
Because I had good grades, but I would giggle in class, or I was just like a little bit of a class clown, so I would get in trouble. And I just didn't want my parents to see those, so because they'll eventually see your grades.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the point. And the second time was I just really had to go to the bathroom. So Natalie was in the car with me, and we raced. I made it from the Upper East Side in New York City to Alpine, New Jersey in 19 minutes. And I think I was doing like 85 on Park Avenue.
Oh my gosh.
It was unbelievably dangerous.
Yeah.
But I really, really have to go to the bathroom.
Okay. So speaking of being like a class clown and a troublemaker, can you tell us about the time in middle school where I think you were thrown out of class? What happened
it was like science class, and I was good at it, but I kept on having things pop into my head that had to do with science, I guess, but had nothing to do with the lesson plan. So when I would raise my hand, I would ask questions that were like completely stupid. So I would ask, like, do bugs breathe? What is dust made out of? You know, pretty much things that your teacher doesn't want you to ask in middle class. So I got kicked out for that. Now that I think about it, in sixth grade, I kicked out of art class all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
Being like a class clown. That was like my predominant problem.
I got thrown out of science class in freshman year. And 10th grade, actually.
10th grade?
Yeah.
For what?
Chemistry. Because my lab partner and I were like, quote unquote, rushing through the experiment.
Who was your lab partner?
I don't know who it was, but the teacher was Mr. Hatch. I don't think we were rushing, but he was like not very like happy about that. Yeah, you had a pretty colorful childhood, Stephen, I think.
I did.
Yeah. Do you miss those days?
No.
No.
I don't think I'm the type of person who misses the past. I appreciate it and
yeah.
I liked it, but yeah. I never feel the desire to go backwards in that sense. Like, I have regrets, like everyone I'm sure has regrets here and there, but nothing that, like, I would never, if given the opportunity to step in a time machine, I'm not sure I would do it.
Yeah. Do you think you're still like a little bit of a troublemaker, a little mischievous?
I think that my childhood mischief has somehow permeated into self-destructiveness in my later years.
Yeah.
Now I'm not I think I'm aware of it, but I think that kind of jovial hedonism kind of got me into trouble in college and stuff like that. But now I'm aware of it. And I always have. I think, I don't know that I'm mischievous, because at 30, if you're mischievous, it's not like a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think that spirit of taking life lightly, I do still carry with me. And I'm actually, now that I know how to control it and I know how it can be a good thing, I like it about myself.
Yeah. I like that phrase, jovial hedonism. Mm. It's very interesting.
Mm. It's a little self-indulgent. It's like I just took the SATs.
What did you think about our middle school and high school experience?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I had a really good experience in high school.
Would you send your kids to art school?
Yes. I think that, I don't know that it's necessary. It's very expensive for what it is. And I think if your kid's very smart, that is the type of place that they could benefit from. If you're not an academic person, then I don't know that you need to be there. I think you can get a lot of that from a public school. It was a great experience. And I think socially, it was a great experience, because it wasn't the type of school where there were bullies or there was like that kind of like systematic bullying problem. It was more like a college campus by the time we were seniors. You know, we had a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
We had those free periods where I think by senior year, I think I had days where I would have one class.
Whoa.
I also structured my schedule that way, but it gave you that, it gave you that kind of freedom where you would have like one class at noon.
Yeah.
And it was your senior year. So you would come in late. You go to your one class, and then you would spend the day at school, but you would spend it like a free period, so you hang out with your friends.
Mm. You know, in addition to you driving us senior year, one of my like most like vivid and cherished memories is taking the bus to school.
Yes.
We did that for years.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and it was always a lot of fun. Do you remember you and Gaffney would sometimes put my coat on the bus?
Oh, fat guy in a little coat.
Yeah!
Yeah. Fat guy in a little coat. Yes, you had such a tiny coat.
Yeah.
We were such fat guys.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing you guys didn't break those coats.
Very true.
Yeah. Oh, such a good time. So you believe in karma, right?
Yes. Big believer in karma.
Big believer in karma. Can you explain a little bit?
I would just say that I've seen it in my own life. I find that I generally operate under the rule of thumb that, you know, if I can be generous, then I will be. Even, you know, when I was talking to you earlier about it, you know, that cheesy expression about character that, you know, it's what you do when nobody's looking. And it's so true, you know, and I found in my life that I've led that principle of like trying to be generous to people when they're not expecting it, from little things to big things, to being overly generous is so much better than being the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen how things have come back to me, you know, like I've been in situations where I should have, something bad should have happened, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should have, you know, something, I don't know how to explain it. You know, it's like, I should have gotten in trouble, or I should have gotten this, or I should, but it didn't happen, you know? And it, mm-hmm. I was lucky. And after a certain point in time, I was like, how many times are you lucky?
Yeah.
You know? And maybe I believe it's karma. You know, I'm like, I'm not a perfect person, and by no means do I claim to be, but
yeah,
if I can control how I treat people, which I can, then I'm going to make sure to treat them well, because there are certain things that I cannot control.
Yeah.
That's up to fate. That's up to karma. That's up to whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But when I can control something about how I treat somebody else, then I try to make it the best way possible.
Yeah. I really like that definition of character. Character is right. Who you are when
you're.
I
saw it on like one of those cheesy things. It was probably like Urban Outfitters. But I thought it was very, very well put.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so who in your life do you think best embodies that? Who has the best character? Present company excluded.
It's like, oh damn, that's hard. My mom, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that she is, which makes it very difficult to like argue with her, which I don't do often. Because she's usually right.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, when you argue with someone and you always want to say like, well, you do this, or well, you did it this way, and look, like you want to point out they're wrong.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess, a defense mechanism inherently that everyone has.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to hear criticism, and your first reaction is say, well, look at you, you know, and
yeah.
That kind of, and I can't do that with her. Because it's like nothing to say to her. So,
yeah.
You know, it's, I would say her, definitely.
Can you give me an example of how you've seen this character in her?
So she just sold, in retirement, she had a business, like a retirement project, and she just sold it. The person who bought it, it was like an educational center, like a private tutoring kind of situation. And, you know, many children, many, many clients. And the person who bought it basically paid her, and it was fully, the deal was done. And my mom goes still. She goes every day. Now she's going a little bit less, but you know, she goes every day to help this woman out. She's not getting paid to do it. She's not getting paid or compensated in any way. And I asked her, like, why are you still going? You know what? Stop. You're supposed to be retired. And she was like, you know, like she needs to be properly transitioned. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go until that business is up and running for this woman, because this woman put her entire kid's tuition into this business for college.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's their whole life, you know? And
yeah.
I want to make sure that that business doesn't fall on her face. That's, yeah. I guess, the kind of person that she is.
Mm-hmm.
She once told me that her wedding dress, she shipped her wedding dress to Europe. But she's from Romania. So she shipped it to a friend of hers in Romania right after her wedding, because the friend couldn't afford to buy her own wedding dress. So my mom shipped her hers.
Oh.
You know, that kind of like,
yeah,
just unbelievable. We had, when I was growing up, we had family friends of hers from Romania who came to the States with nothing. They lived with us for a year in our house.
Yeah.
And my mom made dinner for everybody every night, and so that they could come to this country and get on their feet. Unbelievable character.
Yeah. Oh, that's, when I hear stuff like that, it's so touching.
It's touching because, like I said, you're an attorney, you know.
Yeah.
It's touching because you see, maybe it's not even an attorney, it's like, I think just with age, you see how imperfect humanity is. So when the good things happen, you learn to appreciate them, you know?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. All right. Anything before we move on to our set questions? Anything else you want to share, Stephen?
I'd like to give a plug to the people at Shandong.
Yeah?
If anyone ever wants like entry-level champagne, I recommend the Shandong brand. We happen to be drinking it right now. It's delicious. And that's it. That's all I got.
Oh my gosh. See, that's what makes Steven so great. He's so funny and he's so quick with like little like comments like that. Yesterday when I saw you, I like just couldn't stop laughing for the first 5 minutes, even though you had like not said anything. And I was like, all right, Natalie, get yourself together. So I asked you earlier today if you think I'm pretty much the same as I was.
Yes, you are the same. You look the same. You're the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So look the same, act the same, everything.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so how would you describe me then?
You have like an aloof seriousness, determination. You Ooh. Know, it's like you're very determined, but always with a humor about it. You know, you're obviously a very successful person and a very smart person, but I never get that sense from you. And I don't mean that as an insult.
I don't think it's an insult. Yeah.
You know, you have the, yeah, it's just, and this is probably, you know, why we were friends and why I like that about people is when they're smart, but they don't act. They don't show it.
Yeah.
It's like you're very chill and you do what you need to do on your own time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a great quality.
Yeah. Wow. Is there anything that you want to share with your network, your friends, your family that, I mean, this is the best platform to do it. Is there anything, any stories or anything about you? Anything you wished people knew about you?
That I wish people, I'm pretty much an open book.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Will we ever reach the age when we won't pregame?
I hope not.
I hope not either.
Yeah.
I want to be 80 in pregame.
Yeah. I think pregaming is like.
Pregame is usually better than the game.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like. And it's like right when people are starting off and right, like
everyone's
it's
like, all gung ho.
Yeah. First of all, there's anticipation and excitement for the night that just like kind of like wears.
You know what the best part of the night is?
What?
The end of the pregame. Because then everyone's like drunk and has the intensity that it will ultimately lead to like being let down when you get to the game, but they're still like really great
spirits. Yeah.
They'll take that last shot before we go out the door.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of mentality.
Yeah. Best Here's a question for you. What's your shot of choice?
Jameson. It used to be Patron, but you can't drink tequila anymore.
Oh, yeah. That happens with tequila.
Jameson is my shot of choice. Drink of choice is going to be super bougie, but it's a Hendrix martini straight up with a little bit of rose water.
Oh my God.
I say this, it's so embarrassing.
Like jovial hedonism?
Jovial hedonism. I'm the kind of person who will order like the lobster at a diner. Like that's pretty much my approach to life.
You know what? That's great. Cause I was reading something about like, this happiness article and they were saying like, you need to like use your nice sheets now or use the fancy china now. Oh, like there's never going to be.
Yeah. I don't understand people who,
wait for that stuff.
Wait or put shit on the furniture where you can't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, who are you saving this for? Like, what are you doing? Or the people like with the cars where they're like, there's like all this like padding on the car, yeah. on the seats. So they don't scratch the seat. I'm like, wait, who are you giving the car to?
Yeah.
Like, what are you saving this
yeah.
for?
What do you think about people who saran wrap their remote controls?
I never heard of that. Why do they do that?
So a lot of Asian people do it. It's like a cleanliness thing. They don't want like crummies getting into like the like nooks and crannies of the remote. Oh my gosh.
I
wish you guys could see Steven's face because he looks like horrified right now. Yeah. Cool. All right. So moving on to all the set questions that I ask all my guests. So Steven, can you tell me a couple of your pet peeves?
There's so many.
Yeah, let's get into all of them.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good transition one. So my perfect mother, horrible habit. When I call her, like I generally talk to her like once a day. Like I'll call her at the end of my day, see how her day was, whatever. And I usually catch her during dinner. But she talks to me while she's eating and it drives me insane.
Yeah.
Because I'm not one of those people who like is bothered by gum chewing or like I'm pretty good with that. But when somebody's on the other end of the phone and they're pausing for like 5 seconds because they're chewing, drives me insane. What else? People who don't say thank you when you hold the door for them. Like, I'm not the doorman. I'm not hired by you to open your door for you.
Well, you
say thank you.
Will you ever look at them or like say something, or you just like irritating, just like,
oh, I won't say something to them because I'm not like a confrontational person in that way.
Yeah,
but I definitely am like, will make a sarcastic comment to myself. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or no, actually, that's not true. Sometimes I will say you're welcome.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I'll be like, oh, you're welcome. Yeah. And then, but they don't even notice because right. they're like, oh, the online dating profile one.
Okay.
If you are a girl who is on an online dating profile, when you say that you like going out, but you also like staying in, that just means you're a human being. That is not like a personality trait that's quirky or fun or interesting.
Yeah.
So, oh, hair.
Oh, like, you would hate
strands
me.
Strands of hair. Girls are the worst.
But Steven, we can't help it.
I know, but like the drains. Oh, and yeah. The, like,
oh, you shouldn't put it. You got to like collect it and put it on the wall and then throw it out.
What do you mean put it on the wall? Why don't you just throw it out immediately?
Oh, I'm talking about when you're in the shower.
Oh, yeah, I was like, why are you hanging it up?
Okay, so can you tell me your favorite chore?
I don't have a favorite chore because I don't like chores.
You don't like any chores?
Why would it wouldn't be a chore if you liked it? It would be a fun activity.
So the reason I like to ask this question is because I think chores like equalize people, right? Like everyone has had to do chores like at some point in their lives, and some people are very particular about what they like and what
yes,
they don't like.
Yes, but you're not a jovial hedonist.
Oh.
Jovial hedonists don't enjoy chores.
What do they enjoy?
Fun activities.
Like?
Ooh.
What would your perfect day look like, Steven?
I could tell you what my perfect... Well, so I'll give you an example of jovial hedonism.
Yeah.
Nothing brings me more pleasure than on a Sunday to order in Chinese food and like sit on my couch in like sweatpants with a blanket and watch really shitty television.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. And I can like feel myself getting unhealthy and fat, and it like brings me so much joy.
Oh my gosh, my sister's gonna die when she hears that part. She's gonna go crazy.
I love it. I just feel like oily and greasy, and I love it.
You do?
I love it. Because I try to like eat healthfully during the week.
Yeah.
But on the weekends are my like go-to, you know, yeah. eat whatever the hell I want. So, and then Sunday especially, I try not to leave my apartment uh-huh. unless it's for brunch.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. So when people are like, oh, we're gonna take a walk through the park. Oh, pet peeve?
Yeah.
Hiking in general, and then also like, walking through parks.
Yeah.
Like, I like to, like, have a destination in mind, yeah. not to, like, just walk for the sake of walking.
Oh.
So I hate it when, like, let's, like, go to Central Park. And I'm just like, I don't really want to go to Central Park. Like, I don't need to see Central Park. I see, like, I'm from Jersey. I see trees. I get it. Central Park is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I also don't like lying in the grass. I'd rather be in a chair. Little weird things like that.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Okay, so what's the first website you check in the morning?
I would say it's a routine of Gmail, Facebook, New York Times, and TMZ.
Oh, you like TMZ?
I love TMZ. I love me some trashy celebrity gossip.
And why do you pick TMZ over the other ones?
Because it's the most informative and the most, like, they have everything. Like, they... You go to other websites and they don't have everything because they don't have the resources. TMZ has the resources to really provide up to date, of the minute, little things on everything and everybody.
Yeah.
I also like D-Listed a lot because D-Listed, I like the writer of it, the blogger.
Uh-huh.
He's very funny.
What is D-Listed? I don't know.
It's like a celebrity website uh-huh. or got like a celebrity blog, yeah. but the writing, the quality of the writing is, well, not the quality, but I should say the,
The content?
Character. Different character than we were talking about a moment ago. And that's how I don't read celebrity gossip because I like care about the celebrities. Yeah. I read it because it's like trashy and yeah. whatever. And that's how it should be. You know,
yeah.
they don't take themselves seriously. I'm not going to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. Can you tell me about your morning and evening routines?
Morning routine is wake up at 6, shower, go to work, stop and get coffee, and that's about it. I don't really eat breakfast in the morning. And then at night, before I go to bed, I should brush my teeth, but I don't.
You don't brush your teeth?
Before I go to bed?
Yeah. Steven, my dad would not be very happy.
Your dad would be very upset.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I just don't, like, that's another thing is after work,
uh-huh.
it's all pleasure. Like I said, I don't like chores.
Yeah.
I'm a morning person. So like all my things that I don't want to do, I take care of in the morning. But when I come home from a full day of work, I literally don't want to do anything that's not pleasurable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I would never clean my room. I could never go to the gym. I would never be able to do... I don't even like cooking for myself. I really just like shutting. I'm really good at shutting down completely.
Yeah.
And being in a total state of relaxation. I'm very good at it. If your listeners couldn't gather from my hiking comment, I'm pretty good at sitting on my ass, and I've like cultivated I came up with a word for it.
Yeah.
It's called luxuriating. I luxuriate extremely well, especially on Sundays. Yeah,
I don't know. Oh my gosh. Wait, what would your ideal day look like? Not just like
date?
No. Day. What would
my ideal day?
Yeah.
My ideal day. Oh, my ideal day would, surprisingly, I wouldn't wake up late.
Really?
Yeah, I don't sleep in. So I would get up early and I would maybe just surf the internet for like a few minutes and kind of like just slowly wake up and then obviously go to like some form of brunch or breakfast, but like a really fancy one with like poached eggs and like champagne cocktails. Like I really luxuriate at brunch. Then when I'm done with that, I would maybe like ideally in an ideal world would last like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And ideally it would be outside. Brunching outside in New York when it's nice out, there's nothing better than walking around the city.
But not in Central Park.
Not in Central Park. I like walking. I just don't like walking without like looking at any, like I want to look at the stores or the shop, do something.
Yeah.
Maybe watch a movie. I like watching movies like randomly in the middle of the day, like settling in and watching like a really deep, intense movie too.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like a big fan of dramas and like really upsetting, not upsetting, but like serious, that kind of thing.
Give me an example.
I just, not recently, maybe within the past year, saw this movie, Dear Zachary.
Uh-huh.
It is the most like upsetting film. I was legit, not just crying by the end of the movie. I was like sobbing by myself. Really? Watching this movie. If you ever want a movie like that, which sometimes like people just like want a good cry.
Oh yeah.
This movie will not only make you cry, but will like terror. It's not scary. It's a true story too. It's like a documentary.
Oh gosh.
It's like terrifying. Like you'll be, it's one of those movies that like sticks with you for like a week.
Dear Zachary.
Dear Zachary. Highly recommend it if you want that kind of thing. And then after the movie, dinner. I'm a big foodie. euphemism for fatty. But yeah, a nice dinner, maybe like a good steak dinner with a nice bottle of red wine.
Yeah.
And then there's this awesome guitar blues bar in the city, down on Bleecker.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to that afterwards.
Yeah.
And that would be like a pretty clutch day. That'd be amazing.
Okay. So in honor of my favorite op-ed article by David Brooks, who I just ran into.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, David. What is your best resume virtue and what is your best eulogy virtue?
I would say, like I was saying before, I've made it a point to be kind and generous with people. I would hope that that's how people view me, once I leave this world. Mm-hmm. I think generosity and also lightheartedness. I don't take myself too seriously. And I think that making people feel at ease and making people feel comfortable is a great quality to have. Mm-hmm. So I would hope that that's would be somewhat in my eulogy at some point. As for resume, I would say I'm pretty good at knowing when to ask questions and when not to ask questions at work. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at knowing when I should figure something out for myself and when it's important to touch base with a superior to make sure that you're not making the wrong decision or that you're not making a decision that you shouldn't be making in general, whether or not one way or the other.
Yeah. So you've improved from middle school when you get kicked out for asking.
I haven't asked my boss if bugs breathe yet. But,
or what dust is made out of. Have you shared with our guests what dust is made out of?
So I don't know this for fact. I think I read it somewhere.
Everything on this podcast is always fact, FYI.
Yeah, I'm sure. I read that it was 80% dry skin, which creeped me out.
Yeah.
But I somehow believe that.
Yeah, you like falls.
Because you're constantly shedding.
Yeah. Well, going back to like the eulogy virtues, I think you are all the things that you said that you are.
Oh, good. Yeah. So I'm not delusional.
No, you're not delusional. No. I think you're very generous. You're very lighthearted and you definitely make people feel at ease. You have a natural talent to make people laugh and feel very comfortable.
Maybe I should take your job.
What are we going to call it? Perso Steven?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. But you know,
Stevie's Corner.
I think you and I would be great co-hosts.
It would be fun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be fun? Haven't you had this fun?
This is fun.
Yeah, this is really fun. All right, so who is someone famous who you would want to listen to your podcast episode?
In non-seriousness, Angelina Jolie. Shout out. In seriousness, I really like Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to his radio show.
Why?
For the same reason that I like that blogger that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, he talks about entertainment and the world in general, but with a snarky viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But also a viewpoint that I happen to agree with.
Mm.
So I don't know that I agree with him, but I find him smart. And that's another thing, like we were saying, you know, he's one of those people who's smart, but he'll conduct an interview and it'll be very simple and very on the surface stupid, but then underneath it, the question, like, it'll sound like a stupid, boring, unintelligent question or not uninteresting question. But for some reason, it's phrased in such a way that it compels the person to bring out an interesting answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a long-winded intellectual question,
yeah,
but it'll get a better answer than a long-winded intellectual question.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for joining this week's episode of Personality with guest Stephen Davis. Hope you have a fantastic week and join us for next week's episode. And as always, let's talk awesome.